For now, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. I'm kind of on cruise control, and I usually say book of Galatians, but after 47 weeks, we're going to go into the book of Matthew, at least here for today. Matthew chapter 7, and I am going to read verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Rather familiar text. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Now let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I will have the words up here on the screen. These are the words of the Apostle Matthew as he writes this gospel for us, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. Verse number 21. These are the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, the words of your son Jesus, every word that ever come out of his mouth is always important. And Lord, this morning we want to learn the importance of these words that he speaks here on the Sermon on the Mount. So open our hearts and our minds to truths that you want to reveal to us here today through your scriptures. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We just completed a 47-week expository, verse-by-verse study of the book of Galatians. And we unpacked many, many, many biblical truths. And we will begin another expository study of another book of the New Testament here in a few weeks from now. But for today, I want to begin a short series that I have titled, Getting the Gospel Right. And I've titled today's message, I Never Knew You. The exact words that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 23. Since the dawn of time, people have always been inventing some sort of religious system, which, when faithfully obeyed, that will pave their way to some type of eternal reward after death. In other words, they create their own stairway to heaven. Unfortunately, not every belief system works. The truth is, there is only one belief system that does work. And that belief system is Christianity. And the means by which it works is the gospel. One truth that we learned while studying the book of Galatians is that the Apostle Paul was extremely adamant about getting the gospel right. Why was he so adamant about that? Because an incorrect or an incomplete gospel cannot and will not save anyone. It's the difference between spending an eternity in heaven or spending an eternity in the pits of hell. I am convinced that there are many people over the centuries, and certainly many people today, who believe they are saved. They believe they are okay. They believe they will spend an eternity with Jesus in the eternal bliss of heaven. They believe they have the gospel right. But they do not. The Bible is very clear that many people are deceived into believing this lie. And the enemy loves this deception. And these same many people are the ones Jesus is speaking about in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Sure, they prophesied in the name of Jesus, and sure, they cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and sure, they performed many miracles in the name of Jesus. And today, they would say something like this: sure, they attended church every Sunday, and sure, they went on the church mission trips, and sure, they put money in the offering plate, and they even served on the church board. But yet, these same many, when passing over from life into death, will hear the most horrifying words that any human being will ever hear: I never knew you. Depart from me. And then they will be cast out of the presence of Jesus and into the eternal pits of hell. And folks, there are no second chances. There is no purgatory, and there are no do-overs. Matthew 7:13. Let me put that up here and let me read that to you. Jesus says this, and this is earlier in that same chapter: enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. The news isn't very good, my friends. The news is actually bad. How many find the road to destruction? Give you a hint. Begins with an M and it ends with any. Many find the road to destruction. And it is those same many that Jesus is speaking about here when he says, many will say to me, and he will say what? I never knew you. He doesn't say this to the few. He says this to the many. Depart from me. I never knew you. Again, these are the most horrifying words that any human being will ever hear. So where and how do the many go wrong? The answer is rather simple. They did not get the gospel right. Jesus speaks a parable in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, you might want to open to that. I will have some of the words up here, but if you want to follow along with me, that would be great. Matthew 25, starting at verse number 1, going through verse number 13, he speaks a parable about 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to appear. So let's take a look at this parable, and let's make the analogy of that parable to what Jesus is saying here in our scripture reading for today, to what might be going on in our world today. So let's look at these. Let's start with verse number 1. And what I am going to do is, in each one of these slides, I will have certain words underlined, and those words that I want to point out specifically with each slide. Verse number 1 says this: Jesus is speaking this right after the Olivet Discourse. This is the night before he's going to be crucified the next day, and he's speaking these words to his disciples. They're asking him some questions. When will the end of the age be? And this is part of that discourse. Jesus says this: then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. First, let's define the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven always represents salvation, being saved, having that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's pretty straightforward. The kingdom of heaven. Same verse, different words underlined. The bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? The bridegroom represents Jesus, and we know that the Bible speaks of him often as the bridegroom. Now, this can either represent one of two things. The context of this passage is the bridegroom when he comes back in his second coming at the end of the age. That is the context of this passage. But I want to take a little bit of spiritual liberty here and say this. We also meet the bridegroom on the day that we pass away from this earth. So it'll be the day of a person's death. In context, it does mean the second coming, but we will all meet Jesus also if he doesn't tarry, we will meet him the day that we pass away. So the bridegroom, regardless of what version, still represents Jesus. Again, verse number one. There are 10 virgins. The 10 virgins represent this. They represent people who believe in their hearts and souls that they are ready to enter eternity. However, their religious system identifies their eternity. They believe they are ready. They're ready to meet the bridegroom, these 10 virgins. And one last word, they have lamps. What are the lamps? And the lamps represent this, represents their belief system, whatever that belief system is, that will get them into the kingdom of God, which will pave their way into this eternity. Remember, I've said this quite often in here. When we die, our belief system is the only thing that we take to the grave with us, and our character is the only thing that we leave behind. Let's move on to verses 2 through 4. Five of them were foolish, and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. So let's define some of these. Let's define the oil. The oil represents truth. It represents truth. Having a religious belief system, having a lamp, is not enough. There must be truth of the Word of God in the lamps that we are carrying. Second thing. The foolish took no oil, the parable says, but the prudent ones did take oil. The five foolish virgins have no truth in their belief system. And the five prudent virgins, they do have the truth of God in their lamps that they are taking to meet the bridegroom. Again, lamps representing their religious system, whatever that may be. Verse number 5. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. They all began to sleep. This means this. All 10 of the virgins, they were very complacent and satisfied in their religious belief system, whatever that belief system was. I'm okay. People today would say that. I'm okay. I'm complacent. I can sleep because when the bridegroom comes, I'm going to be okay. Verse number 6. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. The day and the time is now here. These 10 virgins are about to meet Jesus, either in his final return, again, the context of the passage, or when they pass away in death. But they are about to meet Jesus. All of us will meet Jesus at some time or another. So the time has now come. Verses 7 through 9. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you, too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. The day has come. They are there and ready to meet the bridegroom. And the foolish realize this. They don't have enough truth in their lamps. They don't have enough truth in their religious belief system to meet Jesus. And they are aware of this. Now what do they want to do? Give us some of your oil. And now they want what the prudent virgins have. They want something that they did not bring along for themselves. verses 7 through 9 one more time. The prudent virgins say, go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself. Buy some oil for yourself. The truth is not something that can be given from one person to another. Every person, every individual must be able to recognize and acquire the truth on their own. Sure, I can tell you the truth, but it's not like I can rub up against you and all of a sudden you have the same beliefs and same truths that I have. The best I can do is share with you what I already know. But you have to decide on your own to recognize the truth and to acquire that on your own. The virgins tell them, go get some for yourself because we can't give you any. Verse number 10. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Those who were ready, those who had the right oil for their lamps, those who had God's truth within their religious belief system, they were allowed into the kingdom of God to partake in a great wedding feast, the Bible says. But what happens? And the door was shut. The door was shut. The time for wise decisions that we can make on the face of this earth has expired. No one else can enter. All those who were prudent and prepared, they have made it inside. Those who were unprepared, maybe with a lamp, but with the wrong oil, the door is now shut. They cannot enter. Verse number 11. Later, the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. Does this verse here sound a little familiar with our scripture text for today? These words are the identical words to the many who tell Jesus in Matthew 21, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And did we not perform many miracles in your name? In eternity, these many will now see the truth. In eternity, these many will want another chance. It's as if they were saying right now, oh, Lord, we have our oil now, Lord. Come on and let us in. I now realize that all those prophecies and all those casting out of demons and all those miracles and all that Sunday attendance and all that money I gave to the charities and to the church and even serving on the church board. Lord, I realize now none of those earn and pave my way to heaven. I now have the truth now, Lord. I have the oil for my lamp now, Lord. Verse 12. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Once again, we hear the most horrifying words any human being will ever hear. I never knew you. Depart from me. No second chances, no do-overs, and there is no such place as purgatory. He ends in verse 13 with Jesus saying this, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Jesus gives his disciples and gives us a warning. He says this to all of us, be ready. You better have the right lamp, Christianity, and you better have the right oil, the truth of the Word of God, within that religious belief system. And again, there is only one lamp, and that lamp is true Christianity, and there is only one brand of oil, and that is the truth of the Word of God, the only combination that will get you into the kingdom of God. Beach Grove, every person on the face of this earth does have a religious belief system, whether they want to admit that or not? Do we have the right oil in our lamps? The last thing that I want as your pastor, as your spiritual leader, and certainly as your friend, is to think that you or any of us in here might have the gospel wrong. And we are end up to be one of these foolish virgins, and the door is shut because we don't have the right oil. I don't want anyone in here or any of my friends or anybody listening to this message to ever hear those horrifying words, "I never knew you. Depart from me." So my mission in this short little series is to explain to you the gospel. We gotta get the gospel right. Next week, we're going to begin searching the scriptures and see what the Word of God teaches us about the gospel. It's actually rather simple. Let's have the right oil in our lamps. There are no second chances, and there are no do-overs once the door is shut.